Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Reza Zulkapli dan ini Niaga Awani. Salam Adil Adha, kita mulakan dengan perkembangan pasaran serantau. Saham di Asia Pasifik catat kejatuhan pada dagangan awal Selasa selepas pasaran di Amerika ditutup rendah. Terdahulu saham di pasaran Amerika catatkan kejatuhan selari dengan saham di pasaran global dengan pelabur risau penularan varian Delta yang lebih cepat merebak. Pelabur di Wall Street beralih ke bond kerajaan dan jangka peningkatan baru kes COVID-19 ini akan ancam pemulihan ekonomi. Pada Isnin, Dow Jones jatuh 2%, S&P 500 jatuh 1.5% dan juga Nasdaq jatuh 1%. Sebelum ini, pemerhati pasaran beri amaran yang pasaran telah terlebih beli dengan indeks yang kerap capai tahap tertinggi minggu lepas. Antara sektor yang catatkan kejatuhan adalah syarikat penerbangan, hotel dan syarikat lain yang sensitif kepada sekatan untuk kawal pandemik.
Well, the trigger was definitely COVID concerns. I think there is this fear that the Delta variant and other variants are posing a greater risk to the global economic recovery. And right now, it seemed that I think financial markets were a little bit too optimistic for a second half recovery abroad. And that's been really the main catalyst driving today's sell-off. The market is a little divided as far as when the Fed will announce a tapering plan. And some think it's as early as next month at Jackson Hole, or others maybe September, or some even at December. There is a lot of nervousness right now in the market, and you're probably going to see that won't ease up until these global growth concerns are alleviated. And right now it seems that that's probably going to take at least another 4 to 6 weeks to that really could become the case.
Laporan terkini syarikat penyelesaian sumber manusia terbesar dunia Randstad mendedahkan 55% pekerja percaya pengalaman bekerja mereka dengan majikan ketika ini memotivasikan mereka untuk kekal di syarikat yang sama untuk jangka panjang. Namun 37% dedahkan yang mereka sukar untuk capai keseimbangan antara kerja dan kehidupan. 30% pula dedahkan bekerja di luar pejabat jadikan produktiviti mereka bertambah buruk kerana tekanan yang dihadapi ketika pandemik ini. Kita ingin lihat lagi perincian laporan ini dan juga bagaimana sumber manusia boleh rangka polisi jangka panjang untuk bantu dan sokong pekerja yang bekerja dari rumah. Kita bersama Ketua Operasi Randstad Malaysia, Fahad Naim. Fahad, thank you for joining us. Fahad, from your report, you've highlighted the key benefits of working from home. But let's focus on the well-being of employees. 37% of the employees surveyed said that it was difficult to maintain a work-life balance. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I think when you look at it from the general perspective, right, when everyone is allowed working from home, it looks like the organizations are offering work-life balance where everybody is able to work from home. But that's not the reality. In a normal circumstances where, the outside circumstances are normal, and when you allow people to work from home, it's much easier where they can keep a firm work-life balance by even going out, socializing, taking their family out, and they have an off time, off working time. But at the moment, it's even though you're working from home, but you might be overworking. And because your work desk and your personal couch where you sit down and watch TV just two steps away, so it's very difficult for anyone to switch off that working mindset. A lot of people even say that they have been working after having dinner. They have been communicating via email, WhatsApp, and different communication platforms, even after working hours. So it's becoming quite normal. So if you see from that perspective, the work-life balance has been taken away from a lot of people.
But having said all that, yeah, the working after dinner, replying to emails on weekends, after more than a year of various stages of MCOs, are employees getting more productive? Or tell us about that.
Well, I think there are two ways to look at it, right? Productivity, yes, there are a lot of employers say, yes, employer productivity has increased, but we have to see the longer, from the longer run perspective, how things are going to work out, because we still hear a lot of employers complain about burning out, feeling loneliness, and struggling with coping up, managing working from home. So there's a lot of things that employers could do to be randomly checking on employees to not work related, but talk about more performance rather than managing the process. It's easy to come across with less empathetic when you're managing people remotely. So when you talk about you know, how they can manage better is by having more communication with the people that you have in the business. You need to create different touch points in order for them to continue having the relationship that they built before COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What HR policies do you think should be in place, and why are some HRs perhaps still reluctant to look at their long-term or change their long-term policies?
I think it still is a big number of employers, I could say a significant number of employers, they still think that there's going to be some sort of a pre-COVID world, which is, you know, going back 9 to 5, 9 to 6, and the 5 days were 5 days working from office. But the reality is now they have to come to a turn that there's no pre-COVID world exists. So they have to start thinking about the future. And the future, it's hybrid working, which is going to become the need and a demand where everybody's looking for flexibility, work-life balance, and hybrid working environment. I think first thing has to happen is the shift in the mindset where it's no longer going to be the same. You need to create those platforms where you're still able to enable the learning. You still have to continue investing in digital transformation. You still have to create those different business rituals that you used to have it before COVID, your awards, your celebrations, your coffee catch-ups, and all those sort of different business rituals. You have to make sure that you learn or you are getting ready in this future hybrid working environment to continue those rituals in a different way, right? It's not going to be same exactly how it used to be, but there is a need for a shift in the mindset first. So that in order for the companies to continue investing in integrating the existing working culture into hybrid environment.
You also mentioned that employers should provide employees with work from home allowances and training programs. Why do you think these elements are important? Can workers be more motivated, or can employees be more motivated when they get this? How will this benefit the organizations?
Yeah, I think it's a question where before that, we all talk about different benefits and allowance, right? When you say allowance, right now we know that a lot of employees might be using their own personal laptop. They are using more electricity. They're using maybe more aircon. Electricity bill might be going higher. And there's so many other different things that we don't pay attention to at the moment. Those expenses might be going high. So maybe a lot of employees might be expecting that there has to be some sort of a compensation in order for them to make sure that they're, you know, compensated well for equipments and necessary things that they're using working from home. Also, in the same survey, 55% of the employees responded that, you know, they feel more connected. They feel a sense of loyalty when during the COVID time, companies managed to provide them all the necessary equipment for them to work from home, as well as the support they needed working from home. So it is good for employer if they want to continuous winning the trust and making them feel a part of the organizations. They have to continue thinking about how they can make sure that they continue supporting the employees in any way. Is it a moral support? If it's the infrastructure support is needed. So all those sort of things are playing a part. And for employees, at the same time, they have to be more open in communicating working from home. So I think the engagement piece is the one which is missing. You don't have that luxury at the moment to be, you know, walking around in the office, having a chat with people, having that relationship with managers. So some employees, those they are more recessive, they are more shy, they don't like to be openly speaking with the managers and colleagues. They have a good platform to go online and, you know, have a chat, draft email, seek time for your colleagues or managers and build that relationship.
Mm-hmm. And Fahad, what new skills do you think employees need to be able to effectively work from home and enjoy a work-life balance? Because I think, as you said earlier, that things just warp into each other, and sometimes the work part comes into the family time, and the family time had to, you know, go into the work part. So tell us, what skills can employees get or need to be able to effectively work from home?
Yeah, I think the two part of it, I think is being well equipped with digital knowledge. I think that's something the employer should need to continue make sure that they are upskilling their employees digitally, because right now all the whole business or your workstation is pretty much relying on this screen that you work on. So continuous learning, you know, different platforms, how the technology can help you to be more efficient at your job. At the same time, the communication, I think that's one of the key pieces at the moment, where they need to come up with a different pattern of design in order for people to have a better relationship engagement to be successful in this hybrid or remote working world.
And how can employers take remote working as an opportunity to look at more inclusive and productive environment? The Economist has mentioned that the pandemic has disrupted the workplace. What innovations can organizations explore now to prep themselves for the future?
Yeah, so I think that's a lot of companies are already doing it, but I think any company is looking at preparing for the future. They have to have those different learning platforms online for, you know, the physical environment shouldn't be the only place where they can learn and continuously grow. A lot of companies are investing into different online workshops. They're even engaging with the external trainer to come and train the existing L&D and the training team to teach how do we manage things better in hybrid working environment. At the same time, I think the future, what we need to look into now is the physical office workplace should be used more for collaboration rather than using for work. So I think that's a shift that we have to see, and it's started happening already. To a certain extent, the biggest part to play is by, you know, the HR, the line managers, the people managers, those they will have to be the one leading from the front in order for them to be successfully ready in the hybrid working environment. Learning is the biggest piece, where if you can enable learning virtually, I think your lot of problem will be solved.
Because I think it took very, very many years for the workplace to become what it was before the pandemic, right? All the culture, all the building and understanding how people work. Speaking of which, trust is also important, Fahad. Can employers trust their employees to work from home for work from home to be successful? How can trust be cultivated?
Yep, it's the most difficult thing to explain. You know, it's so hard to describe. So even a physical working environment where everybody is there in the office, it's hard to build trust. And trust there's no formula to it, right? You go into a meeting, walk out of the meeting, and you have a 2 minutes quick chat with your colleague, your manager. That's when you build the trust. You know, you ask someone out for a coffee, you take them down for a chit chat for 5-10 minutes. That's when you build the trust. You know, you knock someone's door and say, well, you know, I want to have a quick word with you. You catch up in pantry, and all those sort of small social interaction that we have had before this COVID, that's where you build the trust. So now I think the only platform that we have is now online interaction. So how can managers or companies, organizations can see beyond the performance, beyond the processes and a structure, look at the overall performance as really have to make an extra effort to connect on the personal level. So relationship building is important. It's still much easier to build the connections and relationship with the existing employees that you know them since past, and there's some relationship, and it becomes even more difficult when you integrate new employees where you never had any face-to-face interaction. So that piece is going to be a lot more communication. Managers, employers need to take a specific time out, not discussing about the work and performance, but generally trying to get to know them. And it's easy for an employer or a manager to come across less empathetic when you are having only online interaction. So I think these couple of pieces were different touch points, having offline communication, not talking about work, that can play a big part. And the biggest part someone has to play in this is the people manager, who need to be enabled in this. How can they create that trust psychological safety environment for people to feel safe and they can be open about having conversation with the managers?
On that note, we thank you very much, Fahad.
You're welcome.
Dan kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini.